Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamitziah daf Lamed Gimel. We left off on daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. We should have been at Tashema, but I think I stopped like one line early from Tashema of Ohev Lifrok. So we should be about five lines on the bottom of the page. We might be six or seven lines on the bottom of the page. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Ali Nishmas' mother, Golda Bar Simcha Leah Shalom. Also sponsored by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should return home safely. And also by Rabbi Bruckheimer, in honor of the recent birth of a great-granddaughter, to Avital and Eli Pressburger of Karmei Gat. Mazel Tov to the Bruckheimer and Pressburger family. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. First thing we're going to do today is we're going to continue to bring rayas in the sugi of Tzar Bele Chaim. Is Tzar Bele Chaim Daraisa? Is it Rabbanan? So we're going to have several more rayas in that sugi. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how close do you have to be to the animal in order to be chayiv in priko uti'ina. Let's say I know that the animal could be, the bailim could use help with the priko or the ti'ina, but I'm at a very great distance away from the animal, so do I still have that mitzvah? What is the mechayiv? What distance is the mechayiv of prikotina? And then once I help out, how long do I have to stay to continue to make sure that the animal is on solid footing and that everything is okay? Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss when you have to make a choice in Aveda, in prikotina, when you have to make a choice in a variety of areas, who comes first, your father or your Rebbe? And one of the situations we're going to discuss, or you, right? So who takes precedence in those cases? So the Gemara is then going to spend a lot of time defining who is a Rebbe. Does Rebbe mean someone who you learned all your Torah from, some of your Torah from, a little bit of Torah from? Who exactly qualifies as a Rebbe? And what if the Rebbe still needs the Talmud? Is that considered to be someone's Rebbe? So that's going to take us, that conversation about who's considered a Rebbe is going to take us to the end of Perek Eilim Metzius, and then Bez Hashem we're going to begin in Perek HaMafkid. And Perek HaMafkid is all about the Dinim of Shomrim. So the first Mishnah in Perek HaMafkid is going to talk about when something gets stolen from a Shomer, and then we catch the Ganav, and the Ganav pays Knas, or he pays Arba'a V'Chamisha. Who does he pay that to? Does he pay it to the Shomer, or does he pay it to the original Bailim, the Knas and the Dalet Vehei? So that's going to be the discussion in the Mishnah. So let's begin. I guess we'll begin right before the Tashma, where Amar Lei, we were in the middle of a discussion of the previous Raya about whether Tzar Bele Chaim is Daraisa or Darabanan, and we were quoting a Braisa that distinguishes between a Jew and a non-Jew when it comes to Prika. So Amar Lei, so he said that the Braisa that is talking about Prika, not about Ti'ina, but you're going to ask on Rava, who holds that both according to the Rabbanan and according to Rabbi Shimon, Tzar Bele Chaim is Daraisa, and the Braisa says that if the behemoth belongs to a guy, there's no chi of prika. Well, wait a second. If Tzar Bele Chaim is Daraisa, how could there not be a chi of prika just because the animal belongs to a guy? The animal is what generates the chi of, not the owner of the animal, if it's really about Tzar Bele Chaim. So says Gemara, Hamani Rabbi Yosei Glili hi, Damer Tzar Bele Chaim lav Daraisa. That price is assuming, like Rabbi Yosei Glili, who thinks that Tzar Bele Chaim is not Daraisa, and therefore, if the animal belongs to a guy, there's no chi of prika, because the pasuk says v'chadalta, and by a behemah shel Yisrael there would be a chi of prika, because the pasuk says azov ta'azov. So v'chadalta tells me when you don't have to help, and azov ta'azov tells me when you do have to help. So if it belongs to a non-Jew, you don't have to help. If it belongs to a Jew, you do have to help. Okay, so now moving on to the next raya. So about five lines from the end of the page, Tashimas. Let's bring another raya in this sugya, whether Tzar Bele Chaim is Daraisa or not. A person sees two animals that both need help. But Ohev Lifrok, one animal belongs to someone that you like very much, and the person needs help to unload his animal, Visone Liton, and then someone who you don't like very much needs help loading onto his animal. So Mitzvah Visone, the Mitzvah is to be makdim and to first help out the person that you don't like very much to load the burden onto his animal. Why? Kedei Lachuf Es Yitzro, in order to overcome your Yetzer Hara. That since a person has Yetzer Hara to not be helpful toward someone that he doesn't like, so feel better to overcome that yetzer hara, to help that guy first, even though the way you're helping him is by loading a burden onto an animal, which does not relieve any tzar balei chayim. Whereas the oev needs help in unloading a burden from an animal, which will relieve tzar balei chayim. But if tzar balei chayim really daraisa, shouldn't that be the key factor over here? That better to unload an animal than to upload an animal, than to load something on an animal because of tzar balei chayim? So says, well, no. Afilu hachi k'delach v'sitzro adif. It could be that tzar balei chayim is daraisa, v'yahavta l'reyacha kamocha is also daraisa, and it's a bigger daraisa. It's a klag l'adamatara, and that's more important to be kofa the yetzer hara about that than it is to worry about the tzar balei chayim in that circumstance. Meaning in this triage case where you can't fulfill both, so you fulfill the kfiyas hayetzer about loving your fellow Jew, and that's more important. Tosfos raises the question that the Gemara in the 10th parak of Maseches Pesachim explains the pasuk of ki sira chamor sonacha about a sone, that it's a mitzvah l'sono, because you saw a dvar erva, that it's someone that you have every right to be sone. And if we're talking about such a sone, then what's the kfiyas hayetzer over here? What do you mean l'kidei lacha v'sitzro? You have every right to feel this way toward this person. So Tosfos suggests that this brisa is not talking about the sone that the pasuk is talking about. This brisa is a stam sone, someone that you have no right to hate, and therefore you have a mitzvah l'akdimo in order to build your sense of ahava toward this person. Tosfos and Pesachim suggests that no, we are talking about a person who's mitzvah l'sono, that there's a mitzvah to hate, but since you hate that guy, he probably hates you right back, because the pasuk in Mishlei says kimayim apanim l'panim kein leva adam la'adam, and that's going to lead to sin of gemura, and for that you should be kofes yitzro. It's a Tosfos is not magdir exactly what that means, but even when there's a mitzvah to lisanoso, it should never be sin of gemura. So if it's at a risk of becoming sin of gemura, then you need a kfiyas hayetzer. So you have to exactly be magdir what qualifies as sin of gemura versus regular sinna. The Bach in Choshen Mishpat and some Reishai and Beis quotes that Tosfos, and he writes that even by yisone, that it's a mitzvah lisanoso, because you saw a dvar erva and you warned him and he didn't do tshuva, still the Torah says you have to be merachim love bishas tzorcho, that the sinner should never get to the point where if he's in need that you don't have rachmanos on a person. So mitzvah l'sanoso, yes, but you always have to have rachmanos on the person when the person is in need. Okay, Tashmasa says, well, let's bring another raya on the issue of whether tzar balei chayim is daraisa or not. Sone sha'amru, when the pasuk says sone, it says kisira chamor sonacha, that you have to help him unload his animal. Sone yisov lo sone v'chavim, talking about where the person is Jewish, but if the person that's a sone is an Ovid Chavim, you don't have a mitzvah to help him out. Well, the Amr Tzar Bel Chaim Dal Raisa Malisan Yisrael Malisan Yav Chavim. If Tzar Bel Chaim is Dal Raisa and the animal is suffering under the burden, so then what difference does it make whether it's a Sone Yisrael or Sone Yav Chavim? The animal is bizarre, so you should have to help out for that reason. So isn't this a raya that Tzar Bel Chaim is not Dal Raisa, and therefore the Rabbanon never instituted to help out the Ovid Chavim? So it says, no, Mi Savrit Asone De Krakai. You think that when the Braisa says that you have to help out only the Jewish sone and not the person that you dislike who's an Ovid Chavim, it's talking about that pasuk where it's talking about prika? Asone de masnisin ka'i. It's going on the price, on the previous price where we said, Oiv lifrok v'sone liton. The case was a case of te'ina, so it's got nothing to do with tzar balei chayim. We're not talking about unloading, taking something off of the animal's back. We're talking about putting something on the animal's back. That chiv is only for sone Yisrael, not for sone Ovid Chavim. So Tashma says, well, we'll bring another raya. The pasuk says that kisira chamar sonacha rovets. So the Chum darshan a whole bunch of drashos from that pasuk. We darshan rovets velo ravtsan, that if it's crouching under its burden, so you have to help out, but not if it's always crouching under its burden. Rovets velo omed. It's got to be that it's crouching on the ground and not that it's standing up with the burden on its back. Then you would have no chiyuv to help. Tachas masa'o velo mifarak, that it's got to be under its burden and not if it's already taken off of the animal. Tachas maso yishiyach alamud bo, and it has to be an appropriate burden for that animal, and not if the bailim was overusing the animal and putting more than it could handle. But v'yamar tzar b'lechaim daraisa mali rovetz mali rabtzan mali omed. If tzar b'lechaim is daraisa, why should any of this matter? The animal's in tzar, go and help him out, even if it's rabtzan, even if it's omed. So from the fact that the b'raisa makes such chilukim, that it's a raya that tzar b'lechaim must not be daraisa. So says Gemara, no, you cannot bring from this brisa a raya to what the shita of the Rabbanan is, because Hamani, Rabbi Yosigli, the Damar Tzar B'Lechaim, the Rabbanan. That brisa could just be chalked up to the Tano, who we know holds Tzar B'Lechaim's Rabbanan. That's not what our sugi is about. Our sugi is about whether the Rabbanan hold Tzar B'Lechaim's Doraisa or the Rabbanan. But we do know that there is a shita of Rabbi Yosigli, that Tzar B'Lechaim's Rabbanan, and Achinami Mistaver. It's most Mistaver that this brisa is following Rabbi Yosigli, the old Tzar B'Lechaim. Because it says in the Sefer of the Brisa, Tachas Masa'o, then when it says Tachas Masa'o, that Yechayiv and Prika, only if the Chamor is Masa'i Shiach Alamun Bo, has a burden that it's able to withstand. So, Man Shamile Disle Hai Svara, who's the Tana that told us that that makes a difference, that Masa'i Shiach Alamun Bo? Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, meaning we've said that Drasha in his name. So, Shema Mina, so you see from there that this Brisa is following Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that's our Bel is Rabbanan, and therefore you have no raya to what the Rabbanan hold. So says Mar Mimatzus Mukman, like Rabbi Yosi Aglili, really? Are you so certain that that brisa can be established to be following Rabbi Yosi Aglili? Read weiter in that brisa. It doesn't sound like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Vakatani Seifa. It says in the Seifa of that very same brisa, Tachas Masa'o Velo Meforak. And Milo Meforak, what does that mean when it says Velo Meforak? Ile Milo Meforak Lal. If it's telling me that if the Masa is Meforak and it needs to be loaded onto the animal, so you have no chiyuv at all to help out. So Haksiv, the pasuk already says, Beferush Hakim Takimimo. Of course, I mean, you mean to tell me there's no mitzvah of Ti'ina? There's a pasuk in the Torah that there absolutely is a mitzvah of Ti'ina. El Pshito Lo Meforak Bechinam. Ella Besachar, no, clearly what it's telling me is that the mitzvah of te'ina is not something you have to do for free. You only are obligated to do it if the guy is offering to pay you a reasonable price to do so. So Man Chaim is say, hi, Svara, who's the one that says that the chiv of te'ina is only when they're going to pay you? That's Rabbanan. That's the Rabbanan. That is not Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So how can you tell me that this price that seems to assume Tzar B'Lechaim's Rabbanan must be following the sheet of Rabbi Yosi Aglili? The next line of the Brisa assumes like the Rabbanan that you're allowed to get, that you're only obligated to do Tina if you get paid. So says Mar Liolam Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Obatina Sarvelak Rabbanan. The Brisa generally follows the sheet of Rabbi Yosi Aglili about the level of chiyuv of Tzar B'Lechaim, that it's only the Rabbanan. But in the matter of Tiina and whether you're obligated when you're not going to get paid, in that matter it follows the sheet of the Rabbanan. Meaning the author of the Brisa is neither Rabbi Yosi Aglili nor the Rabbanan. It's a Tana who paskens like Rabbi Yosi Aglili about Tzar B'Lechaim and paskens like the Rabbanan in an unrelated issue of whether you're obligated to do Tiina when you're not going to get paid. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses Tana Rabbanan. We have a Brisa, other mitzvah, other dinim related to Priku Tiina. The Brisa explains, Kitira Yachlafil Mirachok. The pasuk says Kitira Chamar Sonacha Rovetz Tachas Maso. So I would think even if you see it from a very great distance, they have to help out. Talmud Omer. That's why the pasuk says Kisifka. It says Kisifka Shor Evchal Chamar Toha Sheftu Shivenu Lo. Pegia sounds like you'd bump right into it. I Kisifka Yachol Pegia Mamish. Well, Kisifka would make it sound like you bump right into it. Talmud Omer Kitira. But that's why the pasuk says Kitira, which makes it sound like you see it from a distance. So apparently there's some balance, right? That's being described over here. Ve'ezo hi re'iya sheishba pigia. What is a type of re'iya that's considered to have been bumping into it, but it's obviously not directly bumping into it? Shira chacham echon mishavu mechza b'mil. If you to divide a mil, which is 2,000 amos, into by 7.5, so one such unit. V'zehu ris, and that is what we call a ris. That if you see the animal from such a distance, you need to go help out. If you see the animal from a greater distance, distance than that, then you don't need to go help out. So Tana, the Braisa tells us another din, umedade imo, you should help out the bala chamar, walk along with the animal after you help load the burden onto the animal, ad parsa, up until the distance of a parsa, because you want to make sure that the animal's on solid footing, that it's not going to fall down again. So you don't just load the burden on the animal and go on your way. You make sure that, you know, you give the guy a jump, you know, for his car, and you make sure that he's able to drive away. You don't just drive away before him. You make sure that his car is able to go. You want to make sure that you were effective. So Amar Rabbi Chana, v'notel sachar. And you could take schar for that tircha to push the animal along for that time period where it goes up until one parsa. Okay, period. Now we move on to the next Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Eilu Metzius. So this Mishnah discusses when you have to make choices. It's going to be you, it's going to be your father, it's going to be your Rebbe. Who goes first? So says Gemara, says the Mishnah, Avedaso v'Avedas Aviv, a person who lost an object, and his father also lost an object, and you found both of them, but you're not able to retrieve both of them. You can only retrieve one of them. So Avedaso Kodemes, so your Aveda comes before your father's Aveda. Avedaso v'Avedas Rabbo, Shalo Kodem. That if your own Aveda versus your Rebbe's Aveda, once again, your own Aveda comes first. So you versus your father, it's yours first. You versus your Rebbe, it's yours first. Which begs the obvious question. So if you take precedence over both father and Rebbe, who takes precedence between father and Rebbe? Avedas Aviv, Avedas Rabbo. If, let's say, the father and the Rebbe both have an Aveda, and again, you cannot retrieve both of them, so Shal Rabbo Kodemes, the Rebbe comes before the father. Sha'aviv Heviyu La'olam Hazeh, the father is someone who had made a great contribution in the son's life by bringing him into Olam Hazeh, but the Rebbe who taught him Chachma made an even greater contribution in his life in that he brought him into Olam Haba. V'im Aviv Chacham, Shal Aviv Kodemes. But if the father is a Chacham, then the father's Aveda comes first, because if the father is a Chacham, then presumably he taught him Chachma as well, right? Meaning, and therefore he's your Rebbe as well. The Girsa of the Rif and other poskim is v'imaya aviv shakul k'neged rabo, then avedas aviv kodemes. That if the father is as big a talmud chacham as the Rebbe, then his comes first. That if the meaning implying that if the father is a chacham, he does not come first in hashavas aveda. He does not take precedence over the Rebbe. Only if he's shakul b'chachmaso k'neged rabo, which is obviously not our girsa in the Mishnah. So it seems to be machlokas. What if the father's a talmud chacham, but not quite a talmud chacham like the Rebbe? So then which one comes first seems to be a machlokas between these two girsa'us. That's as far as Aveda. Now what about Prikotina? If they're both trying to schlep something, so first you help the Rebbe out and then you help the father out. If they're both being held captive, Podes Rabba v'Archakach Podes Aviv. You help out your Rebbe and then your father. V'im Aviv Chacham Podes Aviv v'Archakach Podes Rabbo. But if the father is a Chacham, then you're Poda the father first, and then you're Poda the Rebbe. Now it's interesting. The middle case about Nosin Masui, we didn't make that exception in Haya Aviv Chacham. We just said that you help out the Rebbe first. In case one and case three, the Aveda and Pidyon Shvuyim, we said, well, if the father is Talmud Chacham, then you help out the father first. We did not say that when it comes to helping him schlep something. So it doesn't say what the din is if the father is a chacham, whether he's kodem l'rabbo. So the Radvaz writes that the reason it doesn't say it is because it wasn't clear to the Tana if this din is like the Reisha, that only if the father is shakul k'neged rabbo, that only then the father takes precedence, meaning, assuming like the Girsa of the Rif, that in the Reisha, we only help, the father only takes precedence if he's as great a Talmud Chacham as the Rebbe, or like the Seifa, where we don't have such a Girsa, like the case of Pidyon Shvuyim, he doesn't have to be as great. In the case of Pidyon Shvuyim, he just needs to be a Chacham. He doesn't have to be as great a Chacham. So in the middle case, says the Radvaz, the Tana wasn't sure, does the father need to, it's clear that the Halacha would apply, that if the father is a certain Madrega of Talmud Chacham, that he would take precedence over the Rebbe, but we're not sure which Madrega. Is it just that he has to be a Talmud Chacham, or that he has to be as great a Talmud Chacham? So since the Tana wasn't sure, he just left it out of the Mishnah. The Torah in Yerideah quotes in the name of the Rush that the din of Prika is like the din of Shevi Bebeis HaSurim, that if the father is a Chacham, even if he's not quite the level of Chacham that the Rebbe is, the father takes precedence over the Rebbe, because to be Porik Masa is a Tzara Guf, and that's the same reason why Pidyon Shvuyim, where it relates to Tzara Guf, the father only needs to be a chacham of some sort. That's how the tour explains in the name of the Rush la halacha, that in case number two he would not need to be as great a chacham as the Rebbe. He would only need to be a chacham like in case number three. Okay, but that all that assumes, like the Girsa of the Rif, that in case number one he needs to be as great a Talmud Chacham as the Rebbe. Okay, so says Gemara Minan Emili. What's the source of this din, of the first din of the Mishnah, that my Aveda comes before my father's Aveda, comes before my Rebbe's Aveda? So I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav, I'm a Krach, because the Pasuk says in the Parsha of Shemitah Ksafim, Efes ki lo yevcha evyon. Pasuk continues, ki vareich yivrach Hashem baretz, asher Hashem el kachem nasen lecha nachla l'rishta. So Efes is a lashon of something being of held back or wiped out, that that you should refrain from violating my mitzvahs. You should fulfill the mitzvah of Shemitah in order that you don't come to a sense of poverty. So from the fact that the Torah is mitzavah me, that I shouldn't be in evyon, that I should do things that will prevent me from being in evyon, granted the context of the Pasuk is to observe Shemitah, and when you observe Shemitah, it's sort of like a guarantee that don't worry about it, you think you're going to forgive the loans and it's going to be Shemitah's Ksafim that you're going to become poor. No, by observing these mitzvos, you'll prevent yourself from becoming poor. But we see that a person has a responsibility to prevent themselves from becoming poor. So Shalcha Kodim, L'Shalchal Adam, and therefore when dealing with an Aveda, your Aveda has to come first, because you have to make sure you don't become poor. Rav Yudam Rav says that even though that may be true, if a person is always too concerned about their own money, then ultimately they will become poor. Meaning, yes, we have a responsibility to be responsible with our money and not to become poor and not to just throw away all of our money. But at the same time, if that's all a person worries about in life, then he could be, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately is gonna make the person become poor. So a person shouldn't be his motto with which to live life. God said I can't become poor, but we do see that there is such a general din midar raisa. That's probably why takanas usha, that the Gemara says in Masechus Ksubos that they were misakin and a mevazes al yivazes yosur yichomesh. You're not supposed to spend more than 20% of your money on a mitzvah. Shema yeoni v'yitzarik lebrios, lest you become poor, is another example of called the tikkun rabbanon ken dar raisa tiknum, that everything the rabbanon are misakin is always patterned after a din dar raisa. So takanas usha was patterned after this din dar raisa, that a person has to make sure that they don't become poverty stricken, because then they're going to become a burden on the community. So then we said that if your father and your Rebbe are both carrying a masui, so you first help out the Rebbe, then the father. So Tanu Rabbanan, who is your Rebbe? What qualifies someone as a Rebbe? So Rabbi Shamra, Rabbi Shalom Duchachma. It's a Rebbe who taught you svaros and the basis for different halachos, meaning a Rebbe who taught you Gemara. Velo Rabbi Shalom Mikra, not the Rebbe who taught Tanakh or Mishnah, or Rebbe who just taught Mishnayos. Mishnayos means basic halacha, like Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, just taught you the basic halacha. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Sharov Chachmas Emeno, that the Rebbe that we're talking about is if most of your Chachma comes from that person. And it doesn't matter what most of your Chachma is, meaning if you're a Baal Mikra, so you never learned Mishnah or Gemara, but most of the Mikra that you learned is from that Rebbe, then he does qualify as your Rebbe. So it's Bein L'Kula Bein L'Churma, because you may be he may be someone who taught you Gemara, but he's not Rov Chachma, so maybe most of your Gemara comes from elsewhere. So Rov Chachma So Emenu. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afilu Lo Heir Einov Ela B'Mishnah Achas Zehu Rabo. Even if he just taught you a single Mishnah that you otherwise would not have understood, that's also called Rabbo. So Amar Rava, Rava says, I'll give you an example of who's called a Rebbe based on a single Mishnah. Kigon Rav Schora, the Asbron Zoam Alisteron. Rav Schora once explained to me the Mishnah of Zoam Alisteron, and that, I never understood it otherwise. So he's called my Rebbe just based on that. What exactly is the Mishnah of Zoam Alisteron? What's this talking about? So this is the Mishnah of Maseches Kalim in the 13th parak of Kalim. So the only way you would know it, I guess, is if you were really, really late to a shiva, and that, that's all that was left on the sign-up sheet. So a zama listron is a type of kli where one side of the kli is a spoon and the other side of the kli is a fork, and the spoon is used to move some of the zuama off of the pot that sometimes rises to the top of the pot, and the fork is used to reach down and pull out a piece of meat. So what if such a kli breaks? So normally when a kli breaks, it loses its tumah status because it's broken. But when such a kli breaks, the spoon might break, but it's still usable as a fork. Or the fork might break, but it's still usable as a spoon because it has both functions. So that such a kli is still going to be tameh. So he didn't know how to picture what a zoham alisteron was until Rav Schora came along and Rav Schora told him what it is. So Rava says, so now Rav Schora became my Rebbe because he taught me that one halacha that I otherwise never would have known. Tosfos b'Avot by Akasha, that throughout Shas you'll always find Rava quoting things in the name of Rav Schora in Brachos Tav Chavav, Shabbos Tav Chavdal, Divamos Tav Kuvav, and many, many other places. So he's Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schora. So apparently Rav Schora taught him more than just this one thing. So how can he say that this is an example of someone who taught me one thing? So Tosus suggests that it could be that Rav Schora Me'atzmo only taught Rava this one thing. Everything else Rava was just quoting that he heard from Rav Schora. That's Tosus writes in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Tes. Tos further says that maybe Rav is saying that this halacha he learned it's not that this is the only halacha he learned from Rav Schora, but he's saying even had it been the only halacha I learned from Rav Schora, that would be enough for him to be my Rebbe. A third possibility is that maybe at the time that Rav made this statement, he had only learned one thing from Rav Schora. But you know, sometimes you hear a speaker and it's like, oh, that guy's great. And then you start listening to more things. So at the time that Rav said this, yeah, he's enough my Rebbe because I heard that one thing. But now I want to hear more. And throughout his life, he listened to more things. Tosfos in Vamos says that the girsa should be Rabba and not Rava, because in Achinami, Rava heard a million things from Aschora. So over here, it should be Rabba, that Rabba only heard one thing from Aschora. Okay. Shmuel karamani aleo humer abanan da'azbre. Shmuel tore kriya over the death of one of the chachamim who taught him in a pshat in the Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Tamid that describes exactly how they would unlock the doors of the heichal to go in to do the avodah in the morning, where he described how one guy would stick his hand through a hole all the way up until the armpit in order to be able to reach around to the lock, and the other one would just open the door directly. Whatever. So he tore kriya over the Rebbe who taught him that halacha. So Amarullah, Tamir Chaim Shabavel, Tamir Chaim Bavel, who sit in the Beis Medrash together and they have a masu matan in learning. So Umdin Zem Ibneza, halacha is they all have to stand for each other because they've all taught each other things. Meaning when you're in a vibrant Beis Medrash where people are always talking and learning, everybody's taught everybody something. V'korin Zeh Al Zeh, and they're supposed to tear kriya when each other dies because they're all each other's rebbeim. Rashi writes, Kriya She'inu Masach like Rabbi Muvhak, the type of kriya that you're not allowed to mend the garment afterwards, as if your Rebbe Mufak died. The Ritva says no. The lashon of the Gemara is Korin va'omdin. Doesn't sound like it's a kriya like a Rabbi Muvhak, because then the Gemara should have mentioned that. So he says no. Probably more likely like the Ramban that it's a kriya masacha, the kind of kriya that you would tear for shar krovim, not the kind of kriya you would tear for ava v'imo. The Gemara might cut and goes through several chilukim that we have between kriya lava v'imo versus all in shulchan aruch, between kriya lava v'imo versus kriya for shar krovim. Rabbi Mufa gets a kriya like lava v'imo, but no, that's not what it means over here, says Ramban. Over here it means like a kriya you'd have for shar krovim. Linya aveda b'mekom aviv einon chozrin el Rabbi Muvak. And as far as aveda b'mekom aviv, when it's this person's aveda or your father's aveda, then only Rabbi Muvak is going to take precedence over your father. The guy who happens next to you in the Beis Medrash who once explained the Mishnah to you is not going to take precedence over your father. So kabay minei Rav Chista me Rav Huna. Rav Chista asks Rav Huna, Talmud v'tzarich lo rabo. If a Talmud is learning by the Rebbe, but the Rebbe needs the Talmud in order to hear things that the Talmud maybe picked up from other places, my, so what's the din of the Rebbe in such a case? Does that Rebbe take precedence over one's father? Or do we say, no, since the Rebbe needs the Talmud, it's sort of a reciprocal relationship, so he doesn't take precedence. So from the fact that he asked this Shaila, Rav Huna understood that Rav Chisda was trying to ask about himself, that he held that Rav Huna, his Rebbe, still needed him. So he's saying, look, I have a shaila about a certain type of Rebbe who's, could still use help from his Talmidim. So I'm like, so from the sense of Chista, 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 lo tzarich melach, ay, Chista, you think I still need you? I don't need you. Ad shricha li, you need me. So ad rabban shenin, until 40 years, meaning it's only after you've been learning by Rebbe for 40 years, do you really understand the things that he taught you. Rav Shachta, when I was in Rav Shachta Shir, he was in his late 50s. He was about 56, 57 years old. He went to Rav Salvechik's Shir first when he was 16 years old. So I remember him saying, I finally understand some of the things that Rav Salvechik said. It's 40 years later, and now it's clicking that there are certain things that I finally understand. Okay, so Gemara says, Ikbidi Adadi, Rav Chis and Rav Huna were upset one another, V'lo'ayli L'gavi Adadi, and they didn't visit each other. Yas Rav Chis Arban Tanisa, Mishum Dechalashdaitid Rav Huna. Rav Chista sat 40 fast because he upset Rav Huna. And he didn't even intend to speak about Rav Huna when he asked the Shaila. It's just Rav Huna took it that way. Yosef Rav Huna Arban Tanisa Mishum Dechashdaid Rav Chista. Rav Huna sat 40 fast for being Choshed Biksherim of Rav Chista, that Rav Chista was trying to disrespect him when that would, in fact, was not at all Rav Chista's intention. Itmar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Am Rabbi Yochanan Alach Rabbi Yehuda. We pass on like Rabbi Yehuda that the Rebbe who takes precedence over the father is someone who you learn Rov Chachmasa from. Rav Acha Bar Rav Huna Amar Rav Sheshes Halach Rabbi Yossi, that we all like Rabbi Yossi, that even if he was only Meir Ein of B'Mishnah Achas, he's considered a Rebbe and takes precedence over the father. Umi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan say that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halach Stam Mishnah. Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say that we pass like a Stam Mishnah Utna? And then we have our Mishnah that says Rabbo Shalimdo Chachma. So my Chachma. So it says Rabbo Shalimdo Chachma. So it sounds like it's going like Rabbi Meir holds that the Rebbe that takes precedence is someone who teaches him Chachma. So why does Rabbi Yochanan not paskin like the klal that he was koveya? Why does he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and not like the Stam Mishnah? So it says, well, no, my chachma. What do you think chachma means? It means rov chachma. So it doesn't mean a Mishnah. It means the majority of his chachma, like Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, the Stam Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yochanan paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So it works out perfectly. So Gemara explains what's the derech halimud that a person should do. Tan Rabbanan ha'oskin b'mikra. People who are busy learning Tanakh, mida ve'ein mida. It's good. But in small measure, because the limud of Mishnah and Gemara is a more valuable endeavor for one to pursue, right? Meaning that's the halacha, that a person is supposed to know Tanakh, is supposed to learn Tanakh, but then the majority of one's time should be spent learning Mishnah and Gemara. B'Mishnah, mida v'notlin alei asachar. If one learns Mishnah, which again, Mishnah means halachos, so then it's a mida tov, it's a good thing, and you're going to get greater schar than if you just learn Mikra. Gemara, in the chamida gadol mizah. Gemara, that's the best. But you should always chase after Mishnah more than Gemara. It says, well, whoa, it sounded like we were building up and Gemara was the best. And then you threw in a line there that always run after Mishnah more. So, Gufa Kasha. I'm Gemara in the Chamid Gadol Mizov. How do you reconcile those two statements? Some Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explains that you have to understand the arc of history and what's going on at in the Torah world at different times, and therefore what's needed at different times. Bimei Rebbe Nishas Mishnah. This brisa came in the days of Rebbe, that prior to the generation of Rebbe, there were many machlokos in Klal Yisrael, and they were never able to clarify anything because they were facing Shibud and Gzeres HaMalchus, and Torah was kimat forgotten. And then in the days of Rebbe, Antoninus gave them Rishus to be Osik in Torah, so the Talmidim started to gather, and everyone was saying over what they heard from their Rebbeim, and they started to explain the bases for all these machlokos, and Rebbe started arranging the halachos, organizing the halachos, and in order for all of them to be involved in learning the Tameh HaMishnayos, Rebbe said about Limud Gemara that Ein Lecha Mida Gadol Mizu, that that's what you should all be doing, because we need to have clarity on the basis for all these halachos. Shavku Kuli Al Masnisin Vazal Basu Gemara. So everyone abandoned learning Mishnayos, and they went to learn Gemara. So Hadadar Shlu, the Alam Aviratza Mishnah, Yosemir Gemara. So then he had to make a correction, he had to make sure that they knew the halachos that they were going to work on explaining with the Gemara. So you have to have fluency in those halachos. So he told them to go back to Mishnah. My darush, what's the drasha that he darshan? Where did he learn? Rebbe learned from originally that limud Gemara is the greatest endeavor. Kedidarush Rabbi Eloi, like Rabbi Eloi darshan. My darush, what does the pasuk mean? In Sefer Yeshayahu, when Hashem says to Yeshayahu, the pasuk, the whole pasuk is "Kara begaron al tachsoch kashofar arem kolecha v'haged la'ami pisham ulbeis Yaakov chatosam." So Rabbi Yehuda Darshan's pasuk, "Haged la'ami pisham elu tamid chamim sheshkagos nasalam kizdonos." That's referring to tamid chamim who, when they do an avera b'shogeg, because they didn't know the halacha properly, they weren't fluent enough in the halachos, it's treated like an aveir b'mezid, because they should have paid more attention to know the halachos and to understand the basis of the halachos, and not just to paskin from a mishnah where it could be easily misleading. So l'beis Yaakov chatosam elu amei aretz. That's a reference to the rest of the people who are not tamid chacham shezdonos nasalo kishkagos. That even when they do aveiros b'mezid, I treat it like a shogeg because they don't know the halachos at all, and therefore they violate them. So the gemara says like v'hainu d'tnan, it's like this drasha b'ridu b'raylai that's taught in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Havizor b'Talmud Sheshigas Talmud Ola Zadon, that a person should be careful to understand the basic underlying reasons for the Mishnayos, because if a person is shogeg about the perish of the Mishnayos and therefore he makes mistakes la halacha, it's treated like a mezid. So that's why Gemara is so important, because sometimes a person just learns some basic halachos and then medama milsa the milsa, and they don't realize that he's changed the case ever so slightly and it changes the whole halacha, because there's an underlying principle at stake. So Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai, once we're on the topic of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai's drashos, what does the pasuk in Yeshayahu mean when it says Shimu Dvar Hashem? Pasuk continues, Hacharedim al Dvaru Amru Achechem Sonechem Mendechem Leman Shmi Yichabed Hashem Nira Kisim Chaskam Heim Yevashu. So how do we dash in this pasuk? Hacharedim al Dvaru Elu Tamid Chamin. Those are people who are Tamid Chamin that are always coming to learn. Imru Achechem Elu Bali Mikra. That's people who don't know the Dinim Alachos. They learn from Tamid Chamin. Sonechem Elu Bali Mishnah. Sonechem is the Bali Mishnah. They are so near the Tamid Chamin where the Bali Gemara. Because the Bali Gemara say about the Bali Mishnah that they're Mevale Olam, that they don't really know anything. So Minadechem Elu Amei Aretz. That's a reference to Amei Aretz who hate the Talmid Chachamim, a lashon of Nida. The Talmid Chachamim are disgusting to them like a Nida. Shema Tomar Pasak Sivram Vatal Sichuyam. Maybe you're going to say that the people are not Talmid Chachamim. They're never going to find Simcha Lasad Lavo. Tam Lomar V'Nir B'Sim Chaschem. The Navi doesn't say ve'er'e b'sim chaschem, but v'nira b'sim chaschem, that we're all going to see in their simcha, the Balei Mikra, the Balei Mishnah, the Amei Aretz, Shema Tomer, Yisrael Yevoshu, that the Jews who are not Tamil Chum are going to be embarrassed, Tam Lomer ve'heim Yevoshu, of the Chum Yevoshu, Yisrael Yismachu, that there's going to be great simcha for all the Klal Yisrael eventually. So Adron Alach, Elimitzius. Now we move on to Perek HaMafkid. So Perek HaMafkid is all about the dinim of the Shomrim. So our Mishnah talks about when a Ganav is caught and he has to pay a knas or a dalet vehei, does he pay that to the shomer or does he pay that to the original bailim? So mafkid is chaver behem or kelim. Someone gives a pikadon of a behem or kelim to someone else to watch, and then it gets stolen or lost from the rishus of the shomer. So the bailim says to the shomer, "You got to pay me back. You have my pikadon." Shilim v'larotz lishava, and he chooses to pay for the pikadon rather than to swear that he was not Poshea and that he was not Shaleach Bayad, which would have gotten him out of having to pay. So Sharei Amru, because the halacha is Shomer Chinam Nishpav Yotzei, Shomer Chinam could just take a Shavua that he wasn't Shaleach Yad, he wasn't Poshea, and that's it, then he's Potter. So Nimtza Ganav Meshayim Tashlum Kefel, if when they find the Ganav is going to pay Kefel, Tavach Umachar Meshayim Tashlum Yarbav Chamisha, when they find the Ganav, if he was Tavach Umachar, he's going to pay Dalet Vehei, but Lemi Meshalim, who does he pay it to? Does he pay it to the Shomer? Does he pay it to the original Bible? Certainly the Karen he's going to pay to the Shomer, because the Shomer already paid for the item, so that you're going to pay. But Lemi Shapikadon, that's low. He pays the Kefal and Dal Vehei to the Shomer as well, because once the Shomer paid for the Geneva to the Bailim, he has acquired any future payments that are going to come on account of that Pikadon. So therefore, as soon as they catch the gun, that's going to go to the Shomer. Nishba v'lo ratz l'shalim, but let's say the Shomer swears, and he doesn't want to pay, and then Nimtza, because he's off the hook, because he's a Shomer Chinam, and he swore. So Nimtza, Gadam Hashem Tashlum Kefal, Tavach Amar, Then the payment of the kenas, of the kefal, or the dalvei, goes to the bala bikadon. So lamad the mishnah behema, lamad the mishnah kelim. Why does the mishnah have to tell me an example of both behema and kelim? If the shomer is kona the kenas by kelim, he's kona the kenas by the behema as well, and vice versa. So it would only have to tell me one of these dinim. So tzricha diitan a behema. If it only would have told me the din by a behema, hava amina behema who demakan lekfela, that by a behema, when the shomer pays for it, he's now being kona the kefal as well. Mishum denafish tircha lilavuka, because that's the deal when you're shomer a behema, since the guy appreciates that there's a lot of tircha in watching a behema. So he understands when you become the shomer that if you end up choosing to pay when it gets stolen or lost, that you will thereby acquire all future payments of kefal and dalvei. Al kein denafish tirchayu emel lemakne lekfela, but by a kelim, which is not such a big deal, maybe you're not kona the kefal. Vitan a kelim, if only would have said kelim, I mean a kelim with the makne kefela, mishum denafish keflayu. I would say by kelim you're kona the kefal because by kelim there's not too much kefal. It's just kefal. It never gets to dalav vehe. Al behemel chitavach machar mishaim tesumi arba v'chamishem lemakne lekfela. But by a behemel where it can get to 4 or 5 times the value, I would think that the bailim is never going to be makne that to the shomer. So tzricha. That's why it has to give me both the din of behema and the din of kelim to tell me that the halachos are the same, even though logically one could have made a distinction. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up 4 lines from the end of the page at Maskif. Have a great day, everyone.